237.
Welcome to America Tonight. Each and every show we kick it off with talk radio news. One of my faves, of course, Victoria Jones. Victoria, I guarantee you're on your second pair of shoes this week already, and it's only, what, a couple days in, a day in, because there's so much happening in D.C. It's crazy, including State of the Union. How big is this State of the Union address for Obama, do you think?
I think this is very big. I think this is potentially his biggest. I think it's his biggest to date, because it's the launch of his second-term agenda, and he never really got to launch a first-term agenda because his very first one, he was digging out of this enormous hole. So he didn't really get to say, hey, I'm here, it's so cool. Couldn't do that. And this is really the launch of a second-term agenda, and it's going to be, I think, a progressive one and a fairly combative one. And next year, there's midterms, and you can't get much done in midterm election years. And then after that, maybe he can get something done, but he starts to veer towards lame duck status, and that's his risk anyway. So this is really the feisty year when he's got the political capital to spend, and he's also got an adversary, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, in talking about the political capital to spend, a lot of people want him to spend it on guns and the issue of is there going to be assault weapon bans, the stuff that he talked about. Is he pushing lawmakers to do something? He certainly has been doing that when he's been out there speaking. I would assume this is a big chunk of what will happen on Tuesday.
I think it'll be a chunk. I don't know how big a chunk, because I know that a large chunk is going to be around the economy and jobs. That's going to be the centerpiece. But I think that guns and gun safety and gun violence is going to be a big piece of it. A big adjunct of it, and that he will definitely call for universal background checks. My understanding is that he will call for the assault weapons ban and for the ammunition clip. Now, I don't know what response, of course, he's going to get within the House chamber. Of course, Ted Nugent is going to be there, and who knows whether he can sit on his hands.
Yeah, no kidding. So the Senate Democrats, in the meantime, are trying to have a sequester bill ready by the end of this week. What's happening on that front?
Well, my understanding is that plan is to get this done by Thursday and bang it out then. And they really need to do that if they want to get anything done, because next week is, da-da, President's Day recess.
Yeah.
They're all off for an entire week. And then suddenly, bam, the sequester's upon us.
Yeah, and then it's too late. You know, that's it. Once that day is here, that's all she wrote. What do you think, you know, in looking at the fact that we have the State of the Union, as you said, next week there's the big break, obviously, there. There's conversations about, ultimately what's going to happen with the Republicans and the Democrats, the so-called bipartisan cooperation or a lack of bipartisan cooperation, or will we be able to get everyone on board with immigration? Do you think we're going to see, because this has been the other thing that a lot of people are talking about outside of D.C. and obviously on the Hill they're talking about it. What do you think is going to happen from your point of view of covering this for so long? What do you think is going to happen with immigration? Really anything?
I think this is going to be really quite tricky, because there are quite a lot of House Republicans who have said, yeah, we want immigration reform, but we don't want citizenship. For the grown-ups, even Eric Cantor is saying, I think we should start with the children, but not the adults. Well, really? You really think these kids want citizenship for themselves, but they don't want mommy and daddy? They want mommy and daddy to be in limbo?
Yeah.
You really think that's going to make them come and vote Republican?
No, they're going to be stuck.
You think this is going to solve your problem? This isn't going to solve your Hispanic 70% deficit problem in voting, if you're going to do that. That is not going to solve the immigration problem.
Yeah. Yeah. The other big thing, of course, that happened on the day, and I don't know if there was much reaction to this in Washington, is the fact that the Pope Benedict, is resigning, and that hasn't happened in 600 years. Was anybody talking about that at all in D.C.?
Yes, it was a huge topic in Washington, D.C. people were fascinated by this because it was like, wow, he resigned. You know, it's kind of a good managerial decision. And, you know, wow, what does this mean? How do they elect the next one? Oh, really? You have to get a two-thirds majority. So it's sort of filibuster-proof and, you know, trying to work out how you do it. And maybe we should have the smoke here. And then the bookies came out, you know, the odds makers came out with the three faves. Mm-hmm. Of who the most likely ones are going to be, and but also the review of his life, and then of course questions start to swirl as to whether this is really the reason, whether there's some other thing going on, and it doesn't seem as though there is anything else going on. I mean, he is 85 after all. But with the Vatican, which really makes the Kremlin look like a kindergarten in terms of political intrigue, you can never be sure.
I love that. Perfect note to end on. Victoria Jones, we'll wait for the smoke. Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up next, the vacancy at the Vatican. We're going to talk with religious writer Ashley McGuire, specifically writing about issues concerning the Catholic Church. Pope Benedict XIII bails, now what? Who's the likely successor to this pope? And will they continue the conservative vision that he had, or will it change? Think of the areas where the Catholic Church is looking to get much bigger and have a stronghold. Africa, Latin America, it's a good chance Africa would be a good bet where the next pope could come from, a cardinal from that region. There are two that have been mentioned, also one in Latin America. Very doubtful an American cardinal would be named pope, the next pope of the Roman Catholic Church. The pope now will pray, says he's going to spend his days praying after February 28th, which is the date he officially would resign. How strange in dealing with a pope resigning. And he'll be on the grounds, but not interfering with whoever the successor is. Also coming up on America Tonight, big news, breaking news. South Korea officially confirmed that North Korea did carry out a nuclear test. You know, they get seismic activity near the North Korea nuclear test site. So Kim Jong-un flexing his muscles, maybe trying to build his own legacy or threaten, who knows, but this is unfortunately a familiar stance that the South Koreans have had to deal with before. All of a sudden, there's a test. What does it all mean? We'll talk about that. The mailbag is full. We will for sure hit the mailbag. Many of you earlier in the day found out about the Pope and had some thoughts on the Pope, and there were a couple of funny notes about the Carnival Cruise Line, the Triumph, that is not triumphed over the seas and is being tugged to port, and all the people on board will be bussed back to Galveston, Texas. There was a fire in one of the engine rooms, and they are existing, I guess, on Pop-Tarts and water, and they're at the mercy of anyone on the seas who is dumping food to them, throwing things on board. Can you imagine taking a party boat, a giant party boat, and then having to rely on the mercy of other people that are out there that are coming towards you with some sort of substance because you haven't eaten for an entire day? Hang with us, Ashley McGuire on the flip side.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Hattler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschommel from Midas Resources. As you know, federal government spending is at an all-time high, and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. European government and central bank spending policies have put the European Union on the brink of collapse. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are your assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain. Having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be worthless. And it will protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals or having an IRA in precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel at 800-686-2237, extension 108. And I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter at 800-686-2237, extension 108.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there. I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila. Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNLive.com. Then shoot us an email, advertise@GCNLive.com.
Is retiring. We haven't had a pope that has stepped down since 1514. So you can imagine a lot of people are questioning the timing. Why is he retiring now? Because that hasn't happened. Popes are supposed to rule until death, from what I know. And as I mentioned, no pope has stepped down. It's been 600 years since we've seen that. Joining us in the wings right now is Ashley McGuire. She's a senior fellow. She's a writer and editor. She writes on issues about religious freedom, Catholicism, and whatnot. She has a long string of freelance writings that some of you certainly have seen, probably in the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, to name a few, and the Huffington Post as well. Ashley, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.
Thanks for having me.
So your reaction when you heard that the Pope was retiring, what did you think immediately before everybody started to bombard you with questions and requests to come on shows and whatnot?
Right, sure. No, I think I had the same reaction that just about every Catholic in the world had when they woke up and heard the news, which was first surprise and then not so much surprise. You know, it's not really what anybody was expecting, especially on the eve of Lent and in the middle of the Year of Faith, but you know, I think that if you look at just the different decisions and choices that this Pope has made, he really is a selfless man and a charitable man and a true leader. And I think he's made a decision that Catholics all around the world have really embraced as a decision of selflessness and true humility.
Do you think, I heard somewhere he was quoted as, you know, popes are different throughout history. There's big popes and there's smaller popes, and I'm like the smaller pope, meaning that, you know, John Paul was larger than life, and certainly that's not what Pope Benedict was for a lot of people, because you know, it was John Paul was just so charismatic and in touching people and being out there among the multitudes, not that Benedict didn't do that. Do you think there's some truth to that, that he just is very different and often could be compared to, you know, his predecessor?
Well, he certainly was very different from Pope John Paul II in many respects. But, you know, I think that in terms of big popes versus little popes, I think one thing that we can know for sure is that that's something that just wouldn't matter to Pope Benedict, that he's not interested in grandeur or, you know, in what the world is going to think of his legacy. At the end of the day, he's a very humble man, and he's very humble before God, and I think that he, you know, again, he's a very selfless man. This was not a role that he was looking for. He was very clear from the beginning that he was hoping to spend, you know, he was a theologian. He wanted to spend his older years with books and thinking and praying, and he's going to spend his last few years praying. So I think that that just wasn't something that we know that's something that's not preoccupying him.
Yeah. I agree with you. He was about teaching. He was an intellectual guy. He wanted to read, as you mentioned. At one point, if you remember, before he was appointed pope, before he was chosen pope, with the conclave, he wanted to go and read his books. He wanted to go back and read his books. So he ends up being pope for an 8-year period, but a very tumultuous 8-year period during all the scandals that the Catholic Church was weathering and still is weathering when it comes to the sex scandals. Do you think how would you classify handling that? Because that would have to be pretty tough to be the leader of the Catholic Church, if you will, the holy leader, and have to deal with that.
Absolutely. But, you know, I think that the general consensus is that he really took that issue head on and has led to great strides forward in that respect. You know, the first thing that he did when he came to the United States was to meet with victims. And I believe he was he was the first pope to publicly apologize in America. And I think that what he has done in the 8 years that he's been in that role has led to authentic healing and has really helped the church to start to move forward and put that in its path. And I think that's something he's going to be remembered for.
Yeah. What happens to him now? Does he go in the monastery on the grounds in the Vatican? Or, because I hear he wants to stay in the background, and whoever the successor is, let them do what they're going to do and not try to be an influencer necessarily.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that he's going to be spending his last, whether it's months or days or years, very much in solitude, in prayer and reflection in Castel Gandolfo, which is sort of the summer residence of the Pope. Whether or not he'll be there completely is not entirely clear. He may be at a different property, but I think we can absolutely expect that he's not going to be in any way in the public eye and will have absolutely no influence in real time, at least, over the decisions and actions of his successor.
Tell people that are listening what the process is now for the next pope, to select the next pope.
Well, so what's going to happen now is within a matter of weeks, I believe, all of the cardinals in the College of Cardinals, they will be called to what's called the conclave, where they are essentially locked out from the world until they are able to elect a pope. And, you know, this is a very Catholic tradition that's been portrayed in movies, and people are more or less familiar with it, with the white smoke and the black smoke, and, you know, they vote until they can finally reach some sort of a consensus, and then the smoke is white, and then it's revealed to the world who the successor is that's been chosen. But, you know, it's always a very exciting moment for Catholics because the world, everybody except for the cardinals, they don't know until the moment they walk out onto that balcony who the successor is actually going to be. So my understanding is that he officially resigns on the 28th of February, and that the hope is that they will have selected a successor for him by the end of March, just in time for Easter.
Wow. And any thoughts? Because, you know, people are handicapping, well, who could it be, or, you know, from where? And certainly there are names that we've heard before in the past. Any thoughts on what, you know, who the next pope might be?
You know, I've always thought this is a futile exercise. You know, people often forget that Pope John Paul II was who, you know, as you say, left this enormous legacy. He was an absolute surprise. Nobody expected him. Mm-hmm. Even his own friends were absolutely shocked when they saw him walk out. So I think it's just so hard to know. You know, again, there's some names that are being floated. Some people are even talking about maybe it'll be Cardinal Dolan. And we'll have the first American pope. Others are saying we're going to have the first African pope. But there's just absolutely no way to know.
Do just thousands of people flock to Vatican City? I mean, it's already a popular destination anyway. But because now there's history being made, will more people try to make that pilgrimage to watch the smoke, to see what happens and whatnot?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, there was tens of thousands of airplane tickets that were booked today. This is such an exciting moment in the life of the Catholic Church that, you know, I suspect that between now and Easter is already the busiest time for the Vatican. So I think it's going to be an absolute crazy scene there for the next probably 8 weeks or so.
Yeah. You, I mentioned some of the things that you've done, with your freelance writing and whatnot, but you also have, a magazine that people can check out called Alt Catholica. And tell us about that. It's a website, a web magazine. Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So Alt Catholica is a web magazine run by women, and all of our articles feature commentary written by women about issues relating to gender, faith, Catholicism. It's really a unique site. There's nothing quite like it. And we actually have a sister site that has the same focus from a Muslim perspective, Alt Muslima.
Yeah, what's been the reaction to the two sites?
You know, there's been, well, first of all, Alt Catholica has really sort of exploded just because there was no venue exclusively for Catholic women. You know, there's a number of different Catholic venues like First Things, but none of them are women run and feature predominantly female voices. But at the same time, you know, there's so much of the conversations going on about Catholicism, politics, things like that really have to do very much with women's issues, for lack of a better phrase, whether it's contraception or female ordination, all these different conversations. So it's been very enthusiastic and receptive. We, you know, we have a constant stream of new content. And then, you know, the reason that the two sites, Alt Muslima and Alt Catholica, work together is because the editor-in-chief of Alt Muslima and I basically realized that women of faith, even different faiths, have a lot in common in terms of sort of living counterculturally and looking at things through the lens of faith. So we have some sort of cross-commentary that can be very interesting as well.
All right. Good luck with that, Ashley McGuire. Thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you so much.
To have a fighting chance against cold and flu bugs, get the world's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. Fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi with Allicin Plus C. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allicin Plus C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allicin Plus C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allicin Plus C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allicin Plus C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your...
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network. In this unpredictable world, disaster can strike anyone. That's why an essential part of any emergency survival plan must be stove in a can. When power goes out and gas lines are down, the portable, safe, easy-to-use stove in a can cooks food up to 4 hours and boils water in as little as 5 minutes. Stove in a can comes with everything you need. The stove, fuel, even waterproof matches, all in a compact, durable, heavy-duty container. Plus, the all-natural
natural, non-explosive, 100% waterproof fuel source can be stored indefinitely. Say goodbye to the hassle and danger of propane, lighter fluid, or gas. Stock up now and protect your family with Stove in a Can, starting out at $29.99. Special bundle offers now available with a 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. Order yours today at stoveinacan.com. That's stoveinacan.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Who wants to be disease-free, full of energy, and vibrant health? Two reasons you may feel constantly tired and run down could be that your body's acid level is high and your pH level is low. How does acid enter your body? A cup of coffee, a sandwich, tap water, stress, and cell phones. Plus, your own body produces acid on a regular basis. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize the water you drink and raise your pH level. They promote more oxygen in your system, higher energy potential, and many other documented health benefits. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops is the least expensive and the best pH level product you can buy. Order AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. That's 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health with pH Drops from AlkaVision.com.
Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. One thing's for sure, they're not floating, the Cardinals, that is, at the Vatican, because they got some choices to make. Once they lock them in the room, the secret room, they got to wait to make the decision, burn up the ballots, sweep for bugs, and then white smoke eventually, and a new pope. In case you haven't heard, Pope Benedict XIII has decided to bail on the papacy. He resigns. Apparently, he's had a few little health problems, although they're not blaming it on that. He's been the Pope for eight years, going into the 8th year. And he was 78 when he took over the reign. So think about it. This is the first time, though, a Pope has resigned in 600 years. Usually, you die as the head, the earthly head of the church. So one of the many things people are kind of buzzing about, since it was shocking to lots of people, even those who aren't Catholic, aware of the history of the whole thing. Hey, coming up, we're going to go to the mail room, check the snail mail. But before we do that, let's go out to Rick in Illinois. Hello, Rick.
Hello, Kate.
Hello.
All right. There's no hope with the Pope. But I heard he's retiring, so he's going to go live the nun.
Yeah. Yeah, he's too old. He's too old, brother. There's no way I can buy that one. He's going to pray. He's going to pray all the time and read. Listen, this is a guy who wanted to go and read. He wanted to go home and read. To begin with, he wanted to go to Germany and read, and now he will do that in another part of the Vatican, in a monastery in the Vatican, in Vatican City, and will just be, you know, will be left pretty much on his own. I mean, with guards and everything, and people coming to see him. But it's very strange because they've never had a pope who's still alive while there's somebody else who's the actual real pope of, you know, at the Vatican at the same time.
I just heard on radio that he's going to go live with the nuns. That's why he's resigning.
Yeah. Maybe if they're in the monastery, that must be co-ed, something new.
It might be. Anyway, I want to nominate Palin to take his place.
Palin is the pope. Boy, she had her 15 minutes plus. She got to do the TV thing. She's still on the speaker circuit. This all started just because the people around McCain decided to pluck her out of Alaska and put her on the undercard for the Republicans the first time around against Obama. And, Rick, as much as you joke about it, it's interesting. You got to give cred to Palin because, boy, they have ridden that star, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Anyway, something serious, but I see the NFL is kicking around the idea of like, making the football field wide like 80s football.
Yeah.
I don't think that would work.
I don't think it would work either. I don't think they should mess with the dimensions of the field. And, of course,
no.
There are a lot of people that are, you know, there's a lot of things that are starting to happen because of the head injuries and all of the accusations that the NFL didn't do anything in the past, and there's a whole bunch of lawsuits that are starting to pile up on the NFL, and they're faced with some challenges. But I still say there's absolutely no way that this game is going to be massively altered. Are you kidding? It is such a moneymaker. $10 billion wagered on the Super Bowl alone.
Well, if you make it too wide, then it'll be right up to the walls, and they start running. They go running into the wall. Sideline, so we can put
and it's like arena football, only
yeah.
It's outside. I mean, and of course, arena's a little smaller, but still, that's the whole idea. You're right there on top of it, and you're right. Then what are you going to do with the people? Because what do you think the owners of these NFL teams want? They want more room for people more than anything else.
Uh-huh. You got all them guys with cameras and everything, the TV cameras. I mean,
you
put anybody.
Yeah, you couldn't do that. And they want the coverage. No. There's no way. I've been on the sidelines so many times, and it's already, forget it, between the two sides and there in the end zone going in and out of the tunnel. There's no way. If they did that, I can't imagine. It's like, this is what happens. I think they get too much time on their hands, and they start to come up with cockamamie ways that they can improve or change the game that don't really make any sense. And to me, that's definitely not one of them. I remember... thanks, Rick. I remember in baseball they were talking about taking the mound and making it higher. Let's just really pump that mound up a little bit because it'll make it a little bit more exciting. And then for the pitchers, and then you know they'll be pitching down a little bit. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? They did do the interleague play. They did come up with a couple of things that changed at the time when I was covering baseball that I thought were pretty exciting. Although. Interleague play, a lot of people didn't like that at first, and then, of course, changing up the leagues. But when you mess with the fabric of the game, boy, sometimes you evoke things that you don't want to come out. The chaos, the crazy comes out in a lot of people that want as much tradition as possible. But, you know, you got to have the younger generations on board. They have to get excited about it. It's like mixed martial arts. Kids love that, the whole cage fighting thing. So how are you pulling in the up-and-coming generations into the great game? Are they getting involved in baseball? Or are they getting involved in football? All right, on that note, I don't think anybody had anything to say about the NFL or sports, but we're heading to the mailroom and the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Ah, thank you very much. A lot of people wanted to talk about the Pope resigning. It's such a strange thing to say. The Pope resigned today. It's like he's the CEO of the Vatican. The CEO of the Vatican resigned today. So Joe in Illinois says, Kate, what's up? Pope resigning? You got to be kidding me. I thought that was a joke. What kind of pope bails on his people, even if he's not doing well? What, he wants to read and wants to pray? I'm sorry. I don't think that when you accept the papacy and you choose this life, you're allowed to resign. It's breaking with tradition for a person who called himself a traditionalist and a conservative. Ooh, Joe attacking the Pope. I think that the Pope went through some pretty rough times and had a couple of huge blunders during the 8 years that he was where he was the earthly leader of the Pope, and the whole scandals, the sex scandals, especially to me, were really the abuse. Just totally jacks his legacy, and should, because of the way things were handled, should have been handled much different. And a lot of that was on him. A lot of that was part of what the Pope decided to do. So that's something that he has on his ledger. But he says that, he surprised the world with the decision. A new Pope will be chosen by Easter, and no more than 117 cardinals will select the next pontiff. So here's one from Paul in Burlington, Vermont. Paul says, listen, the person who's Pope should be stronger and a little bit younger. Can't they elect someone to be Pope who's not already heading into their 80s? Wasn't that a problem in the first place? I mean, give me a break. This would make sense that somebody younger would step into the shoes of Pope Benedict. How crazy that he resigned is very surprising to hear it. I guess he took months to decide what he was going to do. That's what I read anyway, Kate, and finally decided he wasn't up to the job. Well, here's the thing. If he's exhausted, wasn't up to the job, well, I guess you resign. If the age was part of the problem, and this had to be this way for him because he just couldn't keep up with it anymore, then I guess resign. But it's just very strange. The last Pope to step down before his death was, Gregory, who in 1415 quit to end the Civil War. So there you go. Mm. Here's one from Massio listening to us in Dallas. Massio says, yo, what's up, Kate Delaney, America, tonight? Pope resigning, a whack on the loose in Los Angeles, a shooting in Delaware. Wow. Do we ever get anything positive happening in this country? We do. It's just a very crazy start of the week heading in from the weekend. And the shooting at the courthouse in Delaware, thank goodness that only and any people dead is not good, but two women were killed and the shooter himself. It's a question of sorting out what happened. It was just a open fire situation. Crazy. Here's another one from Jack, who says, boy, the Pope and his legacy. He just wasn't up to the job. He wasn't up to filling the shoes of his predecessor. People loved him, and Benedict never really connected and could never respond in the right way to the decades of abuse by the Catholic Church priests. Yeah, and they're still unsorting, so much of that. Brian in Missouri says, man, when I look at this Pope and I look what he's done, I'm sorry not to be harsh, but he might be smart, he might have been a teacher, but he should have stayed in teaching. I got to give him the low grade. I got to say, I give him a C at most, and I've been a Catholic my whole entire life. His brand of conservatism just did not work with anybody heading into the church. The church in America is certainly atrophying and doing better overseas. I think we're going to get a Pope from Africa. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects. Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
If you're considering a water filter, have you heard about AquaPail? AquaPail from FreezeDryGuy.com has huge advantages over many other water filters. American-made AquaPail units are designed and engineered to not just filter contaminated water, but capture or kill all bacteria and viruses to non-detectable levels. AquaPail has the fastest flow rate of any other water filter on the market, filtering a gallon of contaminated water in about 5 minutes. That's water when you need it, now. Get the world's fastest, safest, and most reliable gravity-fed portable water treatment system for surface, well, and wastewater sources. AquaPail. Available in 4 sizes starting at only $100. In all orders to the lower 48, ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Valentine's Day is this week, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing last-minute deal. 1 dozen gorgeous red roses, plus a free glass vase, a free teddy bear, and a free box of chocolates for just $39.99. Go to ProFlowers.com, click on the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 9696. But hurry, Valentine's Day is this Thursday, and this incredible deal expires Wednesday. Most roses will be sold out by Valentine's Day, so order now from Pro Flowers to get huge savings and guarantee Valentine's delivery. 1 dozen stunning red roses sent fresh from the fields, guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 full days, plus a free vase, free teddy bear, and free chocolates, all for only $39.99. But hurry, because it could be nearly impossible to find roses on Valentine's Day. And this incredible last-minute deal expires Wednesday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to visit ProFlowers.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 9696. That's secret code 9696.
Well, party, and it could be, because lately you've been starting to lose, losing out on everything you might try to do. That luck that has got to hold on you. Losing money, about to lose your home, done lost your woman and everything you own.
Imagine for a second you're a detective and you're trying to track down Chris Dorner. You have 700 clues, 700 people with tips, and you got to take a pile of them and track them all down. Sounds like a daunting task, doesn't it? $1 million on the head of Chris Dorner, and he still has not popped up. They are on edge and on Zoloft in Los Angeles now, anxiety-ridden, worried about what's going to happen and when is he going to pop up. Trust me, he's going to be like a jack-in-the-box. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. And all of a sudden, poof, that's it. Here he comes. I think so. The other theories floating around, and I talked about this already, hardly anyone was mentioning this, but guess what? He went to flight school, didn't finish, but he knows how to fly planes. Very easy, I hate to tell my friends who have planes, to steal a light plane, meaning like a Cessna somewhere, easily crack open the lock, get in, hot wire that baby, and you are in the air. Now, the TSA is looking for him in airports. They've all been alerted everywhere across the entire nation. So his face, I think, is all over the place with between the video. When he was with the LAPD and he was training, they have been showing that all over the place. But there are many things that this guy could do to survive. If there's someone who could survive, it's this guy. He knows how to shoot. He knows how to maybe fly the plane. He knows how to hide out. He has a lot of skills that make him tricky to track down. But with the amount of people, the manhunt, it's very surprising that something hasn't happened yet, because now we're into this second week. You got 50 cops who are on a hit list, and all of their family members, because he said, listen, I couldn't have a family. I'm going after yours. And this is because he says he was bounced from the LAPD, fired unfairly, after he said a supervisor he was with kicked one of the people that they were arresting, a guy who was mentally ill, schizophrenic, who was causing problems outside of a hotel. And he reported that it ended up, in the end, they said he lied and he lost his job. There's a thing called the blue wall, and the blue wall is crumbling on this one. The other thing that they're doing, and this has been now a couple of days, looking into the case, saying we want to be transparent. We want to tell everybody what we're doing for fear, I think, of retribution, fear that people are furious over what's happened, not excusing what Dorner's done, but wondering what happened that led to this frenzy with this guy. How did this happen? Here's Paul Zellenbach talking about with the LAPD. Zellerbach talking about the California manhunt and the big fat reward on his head, and the fact that they really want the public to be involved in this because they're looking for eyes, ears, anything. Anybody hears anything, sees anything, they want to know. That's why you're getting 700 tips.
Every law enforcement officer in Southern California is in danger of being shot or killed. We need all of the public's eyes and ears in assisting law enforcement in apprehending this very dangerous individual. There has been a $1 million reward established for the arrest and apprehension and conviction of Mr. Dorner.
All right, so far nobody even close to it, tracking down the leads, see what happens there. So steals a plane, maybe gets away. I don't think that's the route, frankly, he's going to go. I think Mexico was going to be one of the areas, but they're so tight now at San Ysidro, Tijuana, all those areas. Even at the Zaragoza Bridge, I heard from somebody at Juarez in El Paso, that bridge that connects the two, all over the place. They're sealing up everything they can, looking for him. You know, I mean, without a doubt, thinking of all the possible angles. Still nothing, but a bigger net definitely has been cast. Now he's been charged, too, in the deaths of the couple that he killed that were related to the guy defending him, the retired police officer. And, boy, that is a very, very sad, sad story. Here's another one for you that we haven't even touched yet at this point, but a very, very big story. I usually never recommend to go out and buy a magazine, but I would say go out and buy Esquire magazine. And this is the reason why, because there is a story, and a lot of people are finally starting to catch on to it and talk about it, called the title of the story is "The Man Who Killed Osama Bin Laden is Screwed." And it's about the Navy SEAL who killed Bin Laden, saying that it's not just about the raid and the shots and all that kind of stuff, but it's the aftermath for himself and his family, and the fact that the government, with all of this skill and experience and what the warriors have done, as he's saying, were warriors, put their lives on the line, that he can't even afford health insurance, part of Navy SEAL Team 6. And what an interview this is. The shooter talking about the fact that he joined the Navy at 19, says almost to escape, and then found himself fully in the Navy, part of a SEAL team, being deployed, and the things that happened to him constantly, living that edgy lifestyle, and then not being able, when he was done, not being able to get health care. That he was the guy, and he can't even take care of his family and cannot get health care. There's so much more than that to this story. I mean, absolutely crazy.
I actually read this today, the entire article.
It's awesome.
It's very long, but it's very good, and it's a two-part story where they'll kind of flip back and forth. The the story does, really. And it goes between talking about this guy and you know, what life is like today. But then also within that story, it's a detailed account as to how the actual mission went. And it's it's incredibly interesting.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's like I said, you know, hey, listen, we read all kinds of stuff. But recommending to you to read this, and I think you can actually even get it online. You don't have to go out and get the magazine. But talks about...
Yeah, I read it online. It's on Esquire.com.
Yeah, it talks about everything that happened. And, I mean, what a good... Just what an incredible interview. And we're trying to get Phil Bronstein on the show. Of course, everybody and their brother is trying to get him on, too. But if it takes some time, we're going to get this guy on because I want to pick his brain about some of the things that he was told. And, you know, he tells all about the mission, obviously, and that kind of stuff that you want to hear. But just the personal accounts, too, of what that was like ultimately coming back. It's just absolutely, I mean, absolutely fascinating. I saw a glimpse of it during the day and said, man, I need to hear more about this. And the idea they're talking about, the CIA woman who's been immortalized in the books and the movie Zero Dark Thirty, and, you know, who gave the briefing, and then ultimately, you know, how accurate that was and, you know, whatnot. But, wow, just crazy to think that the one part of this is crazy to think that the person who sacrificed everything, right? This goes back to the same thing with people who serve, that they're screwed out of being able to, after all that they've done for the country, they're really screwed out of being able to afford health care, which then goes back to the whole thing with affordable health care. It's really not. When you start to pull back the lid, is it because it hasn't all been, you know, ferreted out yet at this point? I don't think so. There's so many misconceptions about health care. And here's just, and that's not even the focus of this piece, but it's just one of the nuggets that come out of it that make you say, wow, you got to be kidding me. This was one of the dudes, one of the late on the line guys who has no pension and no health care, who could have had his head blown in 20 different directions. Pardon the graphicness, but that's exactly it. Man, just completely floating around on his own in the world out there. Absolutely an amazing, amazing story. Any thoughts on the show? Send them to me, americatonight.net.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's UTOPIA Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.